We turn once again to the book of Deuteronomy. Looking this morning very briefly at verses 26 to 29. And as we come to God's word, we remain seated and look to Him for help. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come before Holy Scripture, sanctify and solemnize our hearts, reminding us that we stand under the judgment of the law of the eternal God. Help us to believe it. Help us to think and to meditate upon it. And graciously enable us that we may feel the importance of its holy sentiments. For we ask all these things, believing in the supremacy of the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The words that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 33 are the final words of Moses to the children of Israel. He himself is going to die, but the children of Israel will enter the land of promise with a new leader. And in the midst of that transition and all the uncertainty and the anxiety surrounding it, Moses reminds the children of Israel of three facts. First, that God is. Secondly, that God is for Jeshurun. And thirdly, that God is for Jeshurun forever. That if even if Moses wasn't going to be there, God was going to be there. For God is, and He always is. And this God is not neutral. This God does not dwell in undisturbed bliss. This God is for Jeshurun. And He isn't for Jeshurun only for time. He is for Jeshurun for all of time and for all of eternity. The three facts that He reminds them of. And then from the second part of verse 27 to verse 29, He reminds them of the three consequences that flow from these facts. The facts are that God is, and that God is for Jeshurun, and that God is for Jeshurun forever. And these facts consequently result in three promises. And the first is in verse 27. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. The first promise that flows from these facts is that Israel will experience victory. There will be battles that they will have to fight. There will be enemies that they will have to meet. There will be wars that will have to be waged. But in all these struggles, there is one absolute certainty. And it is this, because God is with them, and because Jehovah goes before them, that in the midst of all their battles, and in the midst of all their wars, He will give them the victory. It is He, their God, who will drive out the enemy from before their faces. And it is God Most High, the Omnipotent who sits upon the throne in heaven. It is He who will speak, and the command will go out, destroy the enemy. And the word that is there translated destroy refers to the complete and the total destruction of the enemy. It is extermination. It is the eradication of the foe. It is the complete and the total annihilation of all that seeks to destroy the children of Israel. The enemies will not survive, not even some of them, not even a small, tiny proportion of them. There will be destruction, and it will be complete destruction. The children of God will experience victory in their new circumstances. And then at the end of verse 29, he continues, that your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. And the idea seems to be that many of Israel's enemies will be beaten by the war, and they will submit to the conquering power of the children of Israel. But there will be a small and a significant minority will only pretend submission, will feign submission, and they will fall down in submission, but not in their hearts. But the promise given to the children of Israel is that the victory will be so comprehensive that even those who pretend to submit will be so completely devastated by the war, and that Israel will tread down and trample upon the high places, the fortresses, the defenses of their enemies. Their enemies will not be pushovers. They will be real. They will be powerful. But the God of Jeshurun is for her. And so Israel will experience victory. Secondly, Israel will experience safety. In verse 28, then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone. Israel shall experience safety. Safety in the sense of security. Safety in the sense of well-being. Safety in the sense that the enemy will no longer molest them. Safety in the sense that the enemy will no longer threaten them in such a way that the people will tremble with fear. And how is it that the safety is possible? Verse 29, he says, the Lord, He is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. He is the shield who defends you, the one who supplies you all the necessary strength in your moment of need. When you find yourself helpless, He is your helper. When you find yourself distressed and hopeless, He is your hope and your anchor. And He will ride the heavens, and He will come down from the clouds, and He will stand with you, and He will be for you. you, and he will be your refuge, and so in him you will find your safety. But he isn't just your defender. He is also the one who prosecutes your wars. And so he says he is the shield of your help, the equipment for defense, but he is also the sword of your triumph. He is the one who does the attacking. He is the prosecutor of Israel's enemies. And so Israel dwells in safety, not only because there is one to defend her, but also there is one who takes care of all her enemies and who prosecutes her war on her behalf. And it is quite interesting that that word in verse 28 that is translated safety, it is actually the word confidence. It reminds us that Israel dwells in well-being and in security because she has found one upon whom she can rest, a great one upon whom she can rely upon. And so Israel dwells in confidence. Confident because there is one to defend her and there is one to prosecute her wars. And I wonder if this morning you and I can look into this new year and say that we enter into this new year in confidence. There is safety for us because there is one that we can rely upon, one upon whom we can rest, one that we can be sure will defend us against all the attacks of the evil one, one who will prosecute our wars in our behalf. The first promise was that of victory. The second promise was one of safety. And the third promise is that of prosperity. This is what we are told in verse 28 at the second part. The fountain of Jacob will be alone in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens shall also drop dew. There will be grain, there will be new wine, there will be dew from heaven. There will be food to eat. There will not just be water to drink, there will be the spring and the fountain. But there will be something better than water. There will be wine, and there will be fresh, delightful new wine to satisfy the thirst of God's people. And the blessing will not just be from below, it will be also from above, for the heavens, it is his heavens that shall drop the dew that is necessary to refresh the land, to water it, and to keep it fertile. And so the blessing and the prosperity for Israel is from above as well as from below. It is to be physical as it is to be spiritual. It is to be the fullness of God's harvest. It is abundance. Yea, it is superabundance. And as Moses begins to contemplate these three facts and the three consequences or promises that flow from them, he is astounded and he is forced to exclaim in verse 29, "Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord." The word happy in our English translations is sometimes or most of the time the Authorized Version translated as blessed. But I think the best translation is to say that it is desirable or enviable. And so Moses looks at his people, the people from whom he is to be soon separated, and he says to them, your position is most enviable. Your position is desirable. Your position is exceptionable. It is unique. No other people on this earth, no other people in this world, no other tribe, no other family has these facts for her and the consequences of these promises for her. There is none who can say that God is and God is for them and God is for them forever. There is no other group of people who can say that their experience is to be victory, safety, and prosperity. Your place, O Israel, is enviable. It is unique. And I think this is what verse 28 means also when he says that the fountain of Jacob is alone. It is exceptional. It is unique. It is so utterly different from the position of others. These, of course, were promises that were given to the ancient church. But these promises are made to the people of God, and they are true for us also, are they not? That as you and I go through this life, you and I have got battles to fight, and you and I have enemies to face. You and I are engaged in spiritual warfare against principalities and powers of darkness in high places. And so you and I need to put on the whole armor of God so that you and I can stand and continue standing on the evil day. The battle is ours, but the victory is ours also. That against all the assaults of the evil one, against all his subtlety and his cunningness, you and I, if we are in Christ Jesus, you and I shall not be defeated. Indeed, we shall prove to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. The victory, but also the safety. For in this new year, we shall find ourselves in new and unexpected circumstances. Our faith shall be tested. We and our spiritual exercise will be strained. We shall be stretched beyond our previous experiences. And we shall even find ourselves exposed and vulnerable. But if our faith is in Christ Jesus, then he is the shield of our help, and he is the sword of our triumph. And if we rest upon him, then in the midst of turmoil and conflict, we can be confident, because he is for us. Victory, safety, but also prosperity. On Sunday evening, we saw something of the spiritual superabundance that belongs to the people of God. And that prosperity is ours, is it not? That men and women as we are, we can shut our eyes on earth and we can speak to the eternal God in heaven. And we have the knowledge that when we begin to pray, God hears us and God will answer us. What a privilege it is to be able to pray. And what a privilege it is that we have the word of the living God in our hands, that we can read it in our own language, and that God has so blessed us that we can read it and we can understand it, that we have the education and the literacy, and above all, He has given to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that He who first inspired Holy Scripture can today teach us. The prosperity is ours, is it not? It is spiritual, but it is material too. The young lions may grow hungry, but those who wait upon the Lord shall have the desires of their hearts fulfilled. He will not just give us what we need. So often, He gives us what we want. He delights in delighting us, and He gives to us the desires of our hearts. And so, in the face of redundancies and unemployment, in the midst of economic recession, and a global depression, you and I can be sure of this, that God is our Father, and He shall provide for all our very many needs. The three facts and the three consequences. God is for Jeshurun, and God is for Jeshurun forever. The three consequences: victory, safety, and prosperity. And so, my friends, I cannot promise you that this year is going to be easy. I cannot promise you that it is going to be smooth or without conflict. I have no warrant from the Word of God to promise you anything like that. I can only promise you that there will be conflicts, that there will be battles, there will be spiritual warfare. It will be painful, it will be stressful, and it will fill our eyes with tears. Indeed, the enemy that we faced in the past year has gone before us into the new year also. So I cannot promise you a smooth life, a battle-free life, but what I can promise you under the authority of God's word is victory in the face of battles, safety in the midst of conflict, and prosperity in a world of droughts and famines. But perhaps you say, how can I be sure of all this? How can I be certain that this isn't simply religious mumbo jumbo? How can I be absolutely certain that God is, and that He has made these promises to me? Well, I'll give you the answer as it is found in verse 29. There are two important words that are made more important because they are brought together in verse 29. He says, "Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord." Saved by the Lord. Now the name Lord there is the Hebrew Yahweh, often translated in the English as Jehovah. He is the one true and living God, and He is the God of the covenant. And here we are told it is Jehovah who saves. And it is Jehovah who saved them. And because Jehovah saved them, there was victory, there was safety, and there was prosperity. Now, did you know that 4,000 years after Moses spoke these words, 2,000 years ago from us, Jehovah came to save. And that's the name of Jesus. For the name Jesus in the Hebrew is Joshua. It means Jehovah saves. And so you see, the God that you and I are speaking about this morning, He has a name, He has a face, and He has a story. And His name is Jesus. And His face is the face of the living God. And in seeing His face, we see the face of God Himself. And His story is quite a simple one. He was from all eternity. And then He was made manifest in the flesh as a little baby in Bethlehem. Then as an infant, He had to be taken away into Egypt because Herod was desperate to kill Him. And upon His return from exile, He was taken to Nazareth, where He grew up as an obedient child to Joseph and to Mary. And for 30 years of His life, there was no sin to be found in Him, for He was blameless and righteous before God and men. And for 3 years after that, He went about doing good, until finally He stood before Pontius Pilate in Jerusalem, and there He was condemned to die by death on a Roman cross. And even the great judge who condemned Him said, "I find no wrong in this man." But you know, the startling thing is this. There was no objection from the lips of Jesus. There was no protest from Him. And why? The prophet tells us, "He was wounded for our transgressions. It was your sin and my sin that took Him to the cross." The just He was, and He died for the unjust. And then they buried Him, and He was guarded by the most powerful army of that time. But the grave could not hold Him. And on the third day, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And after 40 days, Jesus Christ was received into heaven, and there He was enthroned, all power and authority in heaven and in earth and in hell has been given to Him. And there in heaven, He awaits the end of history when He will return to this world to judge the living and the dead, to receive His people into His eternal kingdom, and to judge the ungodly into a deathless, unending death. You see, we have all the proof that is necessary. The cross, the tomb of Jesus Christ, and this God who is and who is for his people, and who is for his people forever, is the living God. He is the risen Saviour, and he is the regnant Christ. And so as you and I set foot into this new year, let me remind you, as I remind myself, that God is, and God is for his people, and God is for his people forever. And if they are for him, then they shall experience victory, they shall experience safety, and they alone shall experience prosperity. And as I end, I have only one question for you this morning. God is for you, but are you for him? May God make us to be for him and never against him. Amen. We conclude by singing from Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. Thy foot he'll not let slide, nor will he slumber that thee keeps. Behold, he that keeps Israel, he slumbers not nor sleeps. The Lord thee keeps, the Lord thy shade, on thy right hand doth stay. The moon by night thee shall not smite, nor yet the sun by day. The Lord shall keep thy soul, he shall preserve thee from all ill. Henceforth thy going out and in, God keep forever will. Psalm 121, the whole psalm, and we stand to sing to God's praise.
I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come thine aid? My Saviour cometh from the Lord,
Almighty God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the promise that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there Jesus Christ himself is with us. And we bless thee for that comfort of knowing that he will not leave us nor forsake us. Help us then to face this new year with confidence and with joy, knowing that if God be for us, who can be against us? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.